BBC. Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hiya, here is Monday's podcast. On Tap End, we return to Chris's German exchange and tension mounts between him and his exchange partner. Also, Chris's friend wants to know, do phones get heavier when you put lots of songs on them? We talk you through the sheer horror of the wearing just my pants in the glass lifts at the BBC video. And Dan and Phil play Monday's Real or No Real. This is Monday's podcast. Turn it up.
BBC Radio 1.
Nearly drowned in some foam.
Why do you like that line so much?
I don't know. Hey, tell people why your phone's heavier today.
No, I said, no, this is something my friend, and I don't mean it as in my friend, but my friend genuinely said that his phone felt heavier.
And this is your friend, right?
Well, he was questioning that if you fill up your phone with songs, even if it's ever so slightly, like a billion, like the tiniest amount, is it any heavier?
No.
And I said, obviously, I said no. But this person was convinced that there would be the slightest bit heavier because you had all the songs on your phone.
And so you've put some more songs on your phone?
No, so I was making a bit of a joke. I said, oh, my phone's a bit heavy.
Oh, it's a joke, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
And theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the top end.
How are you doing memory-wise, thinking of new Tap Ends?
Okay, actually. They sort of come to me in the night, so to speak.
There was a bit of writer's block for a while, wasn't there?
There was, but we're back in full flow. We're fine. Where I thought we'd go to today, if you're keen, is, you know, I've talked about my German exchange before.
Yes.
I was listening back to that one the other day, and I just thought, I didn't tell several stories from that exchange that I should have told.
Oh, so there's more detail.
Yeah, a bit like the Falaraki one we did recently. I'm thinking of revisiting that time of my life to bring up some of the stories that maybe we didn't discuss first time round.
Totally keen. I am Tulisa Keen Tastas Davalos.
Incredible. And I'm Thomas the Tan Keen Gin. So yeah, I'm going to take you to my 15th year at the Tap End if you're keen.
Keen and ready.
I'm ready. Ready.
Ready.
Things were getting tricky in Mainz, Germany. I was a couple of days into my German exchange and things hadn't improved. Communication with the host family was still a massive problem. They insisted on speaking German, which by now was beginning to get tiring.
You were in Germany?
I wasn't up for German 24/7, no.
Right, so what did you expect them to do?
Oh, I don't know. I think they could speak English,
right,
but they were on purpose speaking German to try and get me to learn the language.
That was what you were there for, though.
I was largely isolated from my friends, and I was eating unfamiliar foods. Relations between me and my German exchange partner, Andreas, were also beginning to strain. Every day, I had to go with him to his school, where I'd meet my other mates and regroup. The journey to the school every morning was life-threatening. Andreas and his family lived right next to a busy autobahn, and Andreas would make me run across this every morning rather than get the bridge, which was quite far down the road.
It was not good.
It was terrifying. So it was a really busy road, an autobahn, if you will, right next to their house.
If you will.
And the bridge was quite far down, so to cut time in the mornings, he would just sprint across this thing, and I was expected to follow, and I wasn't happy about it.
Awful.
And you don't need that first thing in the morning.
No, it's really dangerous.
This was made more stressful by the breakdown in communication and me being unsure which was stop and which was go. On one occasion, I'm sure he mixed up the two on purpose. So he would shout go in German, which was gehen, and stop, which I think was halt.
Okay.
And the thing is, in that stressful environment where we're on the busy main road,
I've just seen for short you can say, gay.
Yeah. We only had to spend a little bit of time at the school, luckily. It was used as a meeting place before our group of English people would go on an activity. Some of these activities were all right, though. One of my favourite was when we were taken to a car factory. This was never going to fail, though. We had a tour around the Opel factory and then got to have a go in a car simulator. I did get in trouble for taking photos whilst on the factory tour. I wasn't aware that we weren't allowed, and one man got very angry at me. I don't know if they thought it was espionage or something like that, but I was just going around the factory taking photos, and I wasn't aware that you couldn't. Another tour included a look round a German radio station. It wasn't too dissimilar to Radio 1, except everyone that worked there was quite old. We were encouraged to take it in turns at doing a link after a song in German. It was one of my first experiences of radio broadcasting. More excited about the opportunity of being on the radio, I didn't work out what I was going to say, but confidently went for it. I said... I'll do the German.
Can you do the voice?
Yeah. Hallo. Ich bin Chris. Ich liebe dich. Here is Ronan Keating und Lulu, We've Got Tonight.
I know it's late.
There's a song that they lined up there. It's not the best.
I know you're playing.
Do you remember this one?
No. I didn't even know he did a song with Lulu.
Yeah, yeah. This was, I assume it was one of those that was big in Germany.
Both of us lonely.
So the German that I just did then, translated as, "Hello, my name is Chris, I love you. Here is Ronan Keating and Lulu, We've Got Tonight." I'd like to think, out of my mates, I was the best at this. I think even some of the Germans were impressed. We were all a group of English blokes, as our school was an all-boys school. However, the German school was mixed, and therefore a couple of the boys from our school had female exchange partners. I suppose in that sense, I had a bit of a lucky draw with Andreas. At least he enjoyed video games and didn't spend too long getting ready. It was, It was an awkward one, though, for the lads who had female German exchanges. Because ultimately, with a German exchange, you're immediately meeting the parents, aren't you? It's like the wrong way around with things. You haven't even met the girl, and you're already meeting the parents on day one, aren't you?
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen in this country.
But you're not aiming to cop off with the German girl.
Well, no, of course not. But it will always be in the back of your mind, won't it? Generally, the girls involved in our exchange programme were not my type, except for one named Karen with a K. She was the standout amongst her mates, but it was clear that a few of the boys in our group liked her.
Karen with a K?
Yeah, rather than a C. There was very little that I could say to her in German, apart from the radio link and the names of various sausages.
Telling her you loved her already?
I didn't tell her that, no. So we didn't get to talk that much, really, because there was no conversation that we could really have. But she would smile at me a lot. I think she found me a bit funny. I knew that nothing could really happen, as I would be going back to the UK, but I was well up for giving it a go.
Oh, God.
I know my friend Paul was really keen on Karen with a K as well. The whole week was leading up to something called the Mainz Festival, which was a big week of events every year. It celebrates German culture. Loads of mulled wine is drunk, and there was loads of parties on in various local villages. This climaxed with a massive parade that goes right through the centre of Mainz, with massive floats and music. We were all going to go to this parade with our exchange partners, and our teachers had told us that as long as we were on our best behaviour, then we could go anywhere we wanted in town. This was potentially the perfect opportunity to impress German Karen, but I did feel in competition with my friend Paul to a certain extent. Paul was playing a good game. He had already offered her goulash. She just
did German girls like that?
I don't. Well, he. It was just everyone was making an effort with her, and when he went out to get some lunch, he got hurt. He just came back with the goulash.
Goulash.
As all the floats went past, people on the floats would throw sweets out to the crowd. I would collect as many of these sweets as I could to give to German Karen. It was a good move. It's kind of a sweet thing to do. I was scrabbling around on the floor trying to pick up all the sweets for her.
Yes. See what you've done there.
And Paul. All he had was his goulash, and that was gone within
10-15
minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas the sweets thing was constant. My German exchange partner kept himself to himself the whole time. He was with his mate standing next to us. They didn't seem as fussed about the festival. He had a small paper tray of wursts, German sausages, which he was slowly getting through. In an effort to impress Karen, Paul started throwing back some of the sweets that were being thrown in our direction from the floats. This seemed to amuse Karen, so trying to get one up on Paul, I reached out for Andreas's sausage. And I don't mean it like that. And lobbed it in the direction of the man on the float. It was a beautiful shot, keeping pace with the movement of the float and looping high. It hit the man on the float square in the face. I turned to Karen. I thought she was going to love it. She didn't and started shouting. I have never experienced anything as frightening as an angry female German. She was fuming. Lots of hand gestures.
In German?
And in German, yeah. Which made it more scary because I didn't understand the telling off that I was getting.
Did you ever get to the bottom of why she was so annoyed?
I just lobbed a sausage at the man's face, Scott.
Yeah, I know, but
I think that was
that's
the
quite
main,
funny.
The main
it's
reason.
Only a sausage, it's not going to hurt him.
Maybe it was a cultural thing. And
oh,
I've...
no.
All hopes with Karen were lost with the lobbing of the sausage, and she didn't speak to me again, even when all the Germans made the return leg to England a couple of weeks later. It was clearly a step too far. However, the moment I threw the sausage was captured on photo, and a few months later would result in me winning a local photography competition under the headline, "A symbol of German culture being thrown back in their face."
So something good came out of it.
So the moment was not all bad. I do feel sorry for the guy on the float, though. I appreciate him taking one for the team in my attempts to impress German Karen with a K.
When you say local photography competition, are we talking about a German one or...?
Oh, no, English. It was in the local paper near where I live.
Right, so you decided to enter a competition?
I did, yeah. I saw this photography competition. I was like, I've got this amazing photo because the photo is brilliant. You can see the bloke's face just... and you can see the sausage mid-air. Now, I'm desperately trying to get hold of this picture because I've got it at home. So I'm relying on my brother, who's at home at the moment, to take a photo of it so we can have a copy to put up. If not, I'll have to bring it in tomorrow.
Okay.
But it is a great photo because you've got the float, the man, the German man. You've got my hand in the picture.
It's like a cartoon one.
I mean, technically, it's a brilliant picture. And it won this photography. So my local paper printed.
Who took the photo?
The guy next to me. But what's amazing about it, this wasn't in the days of digital photography. He took that picture and it was only when we got it developed, we were like, this is epic. It's one of the greatest pictures ever. I think I could sell it for a lot of money, but I'm going to get hold of this picture. If not today, it'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
And I can show you. This was a week of learning lessons, though. Never run across the Autobahn. Europeans love dodgy music. And don't irritate a German lady. The anger is unprecedented.
Theme tune, yeah?
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's Jess.
Hey, Jess, where are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm really good. What are you doing?
Just sat at uni doing some German work.
Ah, okay. Did the tap end kind of get a few memories going?
It really did. I thought your stories of your time in Germany were amazing and just hilarious.
So did you go on a German exchange?
Yes, I went on German exchange and a year abroad.
Right. When you were with your family in Germany, did they do that annoying thing where they spoke German all the time?
All the time. Even when you knew they couldn't, you just weren't understanding anything, they would just speak German at you.
Mm. Awful. I mean, why would you do that in your own country?
It's really annoying, isn't it?
Speak your own language. Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Can Chris try out his German on you?
Go on then.
Okay.
Hallo.
Hallo.
Ich bin Chris.
Ich bin Jessica.
Ich liebe dich.
Ich liebe dich auch.
And here is Ronan Keating and Lulu.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
He only knows...
Germany.
Only knows how to announce Ronan Keating and Lulu.
I got a GCSE for that.
Oh, go out. There we are. All right, good to speak to you. So it's you and Rose, right, at Aberystwyth Uni?
It is, yeah.
Oh,
it is. We're doing German work and love listening to your show and talking about Germany.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Now, on Friday, there was an incident here at the BBC, but was to raise money for Comet Relief. This is your idea, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't expect us, if I'm really honest, I didn't expect us to hit the total that we did.
No. I mean, thank you so much if you gave money. It meant that Greg went naked in the Zambezi and my friend Chris here, to raise money for Comet Relief, got into the BBC glass lifts in just his pants, which would be fine if they weren't glass. So from the top floor where Radio 1 is and where all the bosses are and where all the people who work at Radio 1, I can see them now across the little glass atrium thing. Hello, hi. From that floor all the way down to the ground floor where BBC News is, where the likes of Fiona Bruce and Jeremy Paxman will see him, and all the floors in between that. Now, you can watch this on the Radio 1 YouTube. Now, these lifts are busy, right? There's like four lifts for about 8,000 people, and they do stop at every single floor.
Mm.
And it's fair to say that it brought the BBC to a complete standstill on Friday afternoon. You need to see this video to see how many people stop what they were doing and just wave. Because it's all glass, you can see people on every single floor. So as the lift goes down and it goes up, there's like a new set of people on each floor looking.
Yeah, but do you know what? Bizarrely, I thought I could get away without anyone really... I thought, you know, maybe the odd person might spot me moving quite quickly up the lift in just my pants. But seemingly, like, word had got round... And on every floor, there were people with camera phones.
I'm watching the video now. There are people behind the lift. There are people in front of the lift. There are people right over the other side of the, like, this glass atrium with their video cameras out. You need to see this video. It's on the Radio 1 YouTube now. Just type Radio 1 into YouTube. That is the video that you need in your life this Monday afternoon. So I'm going to take you back through it again now. Whatever you think Chris looks like, you may not have seen him before. Imagine... Think about it. He is wearing only his pants. Here's the moment when you started in the lift. Hi, Chris.
This is... I can't describe it. I've got everybody I work with staring at me as some kind of, like, a big boss is...
I've got the big boss here with me now in the studio watching you. Say hi, Ben.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that was awkward, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just, it was like a really weird nightmare.
Thing is, right, the boss has now seen you in your pants. It can't get any worse than
that. That's not normal, is it?
It's not normal at all. I saw your face when you saw him coming towards you, like, oh, God. But, like, it doesn't get any worse than that. All right, so that was when you started in the lift. The thing is, as well as people seeing you from all angles because of the glass, people were actually getting in the lift as well.
Yeah.
There's people in the lift. Brilliant.
All right, so just remember, good afternoon, like nothing's happening. The whole of the BBC is now watching this.
Afternoon, ladies.
Imagine, it was so awkward.
Imagine where you work, right? Imagine you get into a lift, there's a man wearing only his pants, and he says this.
Afternoon, ladies.
Just, you've got to be polite still.
Afternoon, ladies.
And here's when you return to Radio 1 on the 8th floor, right at the top of the building, after going down to the basement and back in the massive glass lifts with everyone watching in your pants. Well, let's go back to Chris. I think he's back on our floor, on the Radio 1 floor.
I'm just right at the floor. I'm still getting like a standing ovation in my pants from everyone I work with.
Really unfortunate choice of words.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still getting like a standing ovation in my pants.
I just didn't expect to be saying that.
I know what you mean.
At the beginning of the day.
If you want to have a look...
when you think about it...
I know.
Between turning up and ending the day on that, it's a weird day.
What we've done on this video as well is we've got other people's footage. Like, so I was just saying that everyone was kind of filming it from their points of view. So you've got, like, people on the 7th floor who filmed it, people on the 2nd floor, and what their view of it was as well. If you go to the Radio 1 YouTube, you can see someone getting in the lift now. This is brilliant. Just put Radio 1 in YouTube, and it'll be one of the first videos. Chris rides the BBC lifts in his pants. You'll see what we saw here, and you'll also see what other people saw on different floors.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
You know, sometimes on the internet, people can be a bit horrible, can't they?
Mm.
You can put a video up and people can say whatever they want. It's a free range to say anything, really. Or you can tweet something and they'll reply something a bit harsh. Or on Facebook, people can write stuff anywhere. People pick a fight, they seem, for no reason sometimes. They just round on you and just have a go, don't they? Sometimes that makes you feel sad. But it only makes me sad for a little while, because then I imagine that they all talk, these trolls, like Lawrence, our computer. And they speak like that all the time. It's now time for Mondays.
Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. Yeah, loving the trolls. Loving the trolls.
Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? It's time for loving the trolls.
I got it particularly bad from the trolls. Last time we did this.
Yeah, you did. Not so... Well, no, there's a couple today. But don't let it make you feel sad.
But is it because it's Loving the Trolls Day? This is... I mean, this is the thing.
Admittedly, we are getting a lot of beef today from people.
It's like Beefy Monday.
It's either people are having a really rubbish Monday and taking it out on you and me, or they want to be on Loving the Trolls. I can't work out which one it is.
Beefy Monday.
Can we have my favourite one from last week, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence.
Here we go again. I am Chris. I am so funny. My mates are all lads. Lads, lads, lads. Rubbish.
Still good, isn't it? Okay, are we ready then for today's Loving the Trolls?
Yeah.
So here's what the haters have been saying this week. Doesn't make you feel bad, because this silly voice of Lawrence, just imagine they speak like that all the time. Especially if you're getting hate on the internet at the moment, don't worry about it. Here we go.
Do you guys even realise that your microphones are on?
Do we realise our microphones are on?
what do they mean by that?
They mean that, obviously, when you are talking on the air and you open the microphone and you switch on the microphone, then they would expect less rubbish to come
right,
out of
I
your
see.
Mouth. I think that's what they mean.
Do you guys even realise that your microphones are on?
Yep, I do. Is the next one?
Why do you keep playing this music that sounds like an angry goat? I get enough screaming from my two-year-old child.
So that's Radio 1's music, which now sounds like an angry goat.
Angry goat.
That's a new one, isn't it? Because we've had farm music. Why does Radio 1 play so much farm music? Now we can have... Why do you play angry goat music?
Angry goat music.
I don't know which song they're on about.
I mean, what does an angry goat sound like?
I think.
I'm not sure which song they mean by that.
Okay. We got some... I think this is aimed squarely at both of us. You ready?
Ready.
Bring back Becky. What have you two done with her? Nasty boys.
Naughty boys?
I think nasty boys.
Nasty
Bring
boys.
Back Becky. What have you two done with her? Nasty boys.
We haven't done anything Sorry. With her. She's just gone to work at another part of Radio 1.
It wasn't our fault.
It's not our fault. Ready for some more.
Boy Spark, you go on about being a lad with your laddie mates. Ha ha ha. You are a numpty. Fancy hiding from Pixie Lark. She's fit and you were scared. You are a tool.
I sort of...
You hid from Pixie Lott.
I sort of have to agree with this troll to a certain extent. I do regret hiding from Pixie Lott. Yeah. But then she was getting sent embarrassing messages for me and I didn't really want to face them.
Mm. I'd like to hear that one again. Oh, Angry Goat Music is Bullet for My Valentine.
Oh, I see.
Boy Spark, you go on about being a lad with your laddie mates. Ha ha ha, you are a numpty. Fancy hiding from Pixie Lott. She's fit and you were scared. You are a tool.
Okay. Another one?
Go on, Em.
Lads, lads, lads. Rubbish.
Rubbish. Yes, I think that's the best one, isn't it?
Still the best one.
Beat that one.
And another, please, Lawrence.
Stop. I can't take any more. It's like your toxic fake tan is spreading through the radio into my ears. I would rather watch the midweek lottery show than listen to your radio tripe. Oh no, I can't. You are on there as well.
A toxic tan.
I like how comprehensive this is.
Stop. I can't take any more. It's like your toxic fake tan is spreading through the radio into my ears.
I love the detail. That's what's so good about Loving the Trolls. Yeah. The words they use, the detail. Keep them coming. So don't worry about it. If you ever had anything on the internet like that, we just laugh at it every day. Mm. And we have the voice of Lawrence to help us.
On Loving the Trolls. We're loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls.
You too.
Loving the trolls.
Oh, they love angry ghosts.
Angry trolls. Angry ghosts.
Angry ghosts. Ha, ha, ha. You are a numpy.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it? Right, tomorrow on this show, got a little surprise for you, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. You know, you've got a few ideas for our favourite dragon.
Oh, I love her. Mrs. Mead?
Yep.
Yep.
She's in everyone's top four favourite dragons. Deborah Meaden, she's going to be here tomorrow on this show. So you can give her some of your ideas because she is looking for a new business venture, a new business opportunity at the moment. Tell me you've got some ideas.
I've got loads. I write them all in my phone.
Do you?
Well, yeah.
Do they make any sense? Because when I write notes in my phone, sometimes for use on this show, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, no, generally the notes in my phone... that you can see the time when you've written them.
Yeah.
And largely they are sort of 2-3 in the morning and have previously coincided with phone calls I've made to Mrs. Mead before.
Right, here's a couple of mine, for example. Matches in the toilet.
Mm.
Across the pond. Gel on eyelashes.
I mean, what I'll do is I will...
Johnny Blue Eyes.
Who's
what
he?
Do they all mean? Oh, I know. He was that one in LA that was like, oh, hello. Like, I think Lana Del Rey's stylist or something. I heard him having a coffee. I think that was him.
What I'll do is I'll
Johnny
go through...
Johnny Blue Eyes.
I'll go through the notes section. There's bound to be an idea that right. She'll like in there.
Okay, well, hopefully your notes make more sense than mine because Deborah Meaden is going to be on the show tomorrow. She's looking for a new venture. You give her your best ideas, all right? Not the ones that we've discussed before that we've thrown out, just the best one.
Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1.
Hey, Chris, you might be right about your theory about if you put more songs in your phone, then it gets heavier. right, because if you get a Kindle, quite a few people saying, if you fill it up with books, it is heavier than if you just got it from the shop with no books on it. Do you know how much, Bai?
How much?
A billionth of a billionth of a gram.
No, but still, that's what I'm saying. Technically...
Significant, isn't it?
Yeah. Technically, still heavier, though.
Yes.
Which you were rubbishing.
Well, tell your friend...
I'll tell my friend.
Obviously not you, that that's true. Dan and Phil are here. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I saw you on the camera earlier doing the Access All Areas.
Uh-huh. That was fun.
Felt like I was on Big Brother.
Good questions?
There were some good ones. We got asked if we'd rather be... a man with a woman's face or a woman with a man's face?
Which is obviously a very important question to
us. See, these are the things that people want to know when they look and hear behind the scenes at BBC
yeah,
Radio 1.
Especially me.
At the moment, coming up next, it's Ali McRae on Access All Areas. It's all the Radio 1 staff and all the Radio 1 DJs, and you can have a look at that and tweet your questions at BBCR1 on Twitter, hashtag it 8AA. And if you want to see what the actual staff at Radio 1 look like, because you don't always see them... They are hot.
And they're dressing up for it as well. I like the people that have gone a bit trendy.
I know, the one girls are wearing a bit of makeup, aren't they?
One of them, a man called Adam, was wearing a snood earlier.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Hold back.
I know.
Wait, hey.
People have put their best clothes on today for this, apart from us. So go online and have a look at Access All Areas. Dan and Phil, I heard a bit of your show last night, and there was that girl on that was... like going, I'm not posh. Can I have the Kaiser Chiefs?
Yes, the Kaiser Chiefs it was.
The Kaiser Chiefs.
I repeated it and then felt a bit mean, but it was quite funny.
Right, so I'm going to play Real or No Real now with Dan and Phil.
Yeah.
Like we tend to on a Monday, and then you can tell us about, I'm guessing you've got a new video for us?
We do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right, first, are these facts or fiction?
A 43-year-old lady in Detroit is addicted to eating cat hair. She enjoys eating hairballs at least every 2 hours.
where does she get all the cat hair from?
That is true. And she, like, crazy cat lady with the cat farm, maybe? Yeah.
Maybe.
She must have a lot of cats herself.
I did see a documentary about a lady that liked to eat sofa cushions.
Yes, so it wouldn't surprise me that there's a woman that eats cat hair.
Yeah.
Is there a demand for this? Is there a business venture in this?
You could say this
Is there something for Mrs. Meaden?
We've got Deborah Meaden coming tomorrow, Mrs. Mead.
Pitch that cat farm for the girls that like to eat cat hair.
And she's looking for a new business venture, actually.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding.
So, a lady that eats cat hair a lot, real or no real, Chris?
I'm saying real.
Has to be real.
Real.
Both, all saying real?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
That one is real.
No.
Yes, she does. Oh, yes, she does.
That's worrying.
And here's your next one. Is this real or not?
When McFly brought out a Japanese edition of their 2004 album Room on the Third Floor, the CD included a hidden bonus track of the band Loudly Passing Wind.
I love a bonus track.
I like a bonus
track. It's when you got it on CD and the last track would be like 14 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you'd turn your CD player and you'd scroll right through. And
also, I can imagine some of the members of McFly doing this. Dougie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It's always a scary moment, though, isn't it? After 14 minutes of silence when a song suddenly starts. You're like, exorcist. Yeah.
Ah! Yeah. So, McFly, it was only for the Japanese market. They never released...
only for Japan. They like
never
that.
Released the fart here.
That's a shame.
Why would they not? If this is real, if this is real, why would they do that, then?
What?
Why would they...
Japanese people are crazy.
They are. I saw a game show where people were in a massage parlour and then all of a sudden the door flew backwards and then they were just sailing down a mountain.
Mm. Yes, a snowy mountain.
Yeah,
so good.
Extremely dangerous.
They have the best game shows in the world.
They do.
They do.
They're willing to break their legs.
Yeah.
For entertainment.
Anything goes. So,
I'd like to say real.
Phil says real.
I'm going to say that they wouldn't have gone to the effort of doing it just for that market. I'm going to say no real.
Dan?
I would like to think they have real.
That one is no real.
Oh, disappointment.
Oh. Seems like the sort of thing they would do.
Yeah. They should do it in the future.
Scooby-Doo is actually short for Scoobert Do.
Oh, please.
Scrappy short, then.
I was a big Scooby-Doo fan.
Were you?
And that's not ringing any bells to me.
No, is it not?
I'm not sure.
Are you the only person in the world with a Scooby-Doo shrine in your bedroom instead of a Harry Styles one?
I am. Well, I used to be obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she was in the movie.
Was she?
Not as a Vampire Slayer, but as Daphne.
Not as Buffy in Doctor Who.
Is that Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah.
No, Chris? Doesn't know any actors or actresses.
Not clue.
What? None. not any.
Love Scooby-Doo. Don't know who she is.
Daphne. Real or no real? Scooby-Doo.
No.
No real.
I'm going to say real.
No real.
Phil's the only one that's saying real.
That one is real.
Yay!
Yes, Scooby-Doo fan.
Is that a real fact?
I thought there must have been like one bonus episode where they explored his past and he was a posh
the
dog.
Moody backstory.
Yeah. Humans have the same number of hairs on their body as a chimpanzee.
What?
Mm. Well, all humans. Even Beyonce.
They are short hairs on your arm.
Chimpanzees are very hairy, though. They've got... ultimate hair layers.
But it's
going
number
on.
Of hair, not length of hair.
Why is Beyonce?
Where?
Because she's on my mind at the moment. I've watched the video a few times.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, she's had a bikini wax. There's no hair.
Yeah, nope.
So you're telling me that she's got as much hair as a chimpanzee?
Beyonce is like a beluga whale. There's no hair going on.
Smooth
like a beluga whale.
She's on my mind a lot today.
All right.
So has Beyonce got the same amount of hair? No, and a human. She is a human. Last time I checked, as a chimpanzee. Real or no real?
No real.
Real, because it's about the number of hair, not the length of it.
No real.
That one is real.
Oh. Yeah, science in your face.
Yeah. And here is one more for you.
To raise money for Comic Relief, in 1994, the members of Take That did a sponsored walk round Wigan Town Centre. The event was broadcast live as part of the Radio 1 Roadshow.
A sponsored walk.
Wigan.
In Wigan.
Mm-hmm. Is that an achievement? Is that something
sponsored walk?
To be honest, I remember worse things happening on Radio 1 in the 90s.
So you mean last week Greg rode the Zambezi on the most dangerous...
things.
And you're saying...
A walk around Wigan.
Well, you have to sponsor them to get them to walk around
is
Wigan.
It's an achievement. Really. I don't think it's anything particularly...
hard.
Is there anything dangerous
hard
in Wigan?
About it?
The natives.
The
natives.
Depends when you go.
The hippos. Yeah. Crocodiles.
I'm saying no real.
No, that's no real, definitely.
No real.
No real?
No real.
That one is no real.
And
ding, ding, ding.
Did we just call the people of Wigan hippos?
I didn't.
It was, just checking.
Didn't mean to go there, but
I didn't mean that at all.
Nope.
Lovely place. At the end of that, please.
Right, I scored 30. Dan scored 30. Phil scored 30.
Oh. Hey! How diplomatic and boring.
I know. Rubbish. Okay, watch your video, please.
We have been asking people for online confessions.
We were talking about internet anonymity and how it's kind of the worst thing ever, but it does allow people to admit to all their flaws. So we opened a confessions booth for people to admit all the horrible things that they secretly do, and it was very funny, and a couple of them are kind of scary.
Yeah, a little bit scary.
There was a girl that pushed her brother out of a tree and told everyone it was an accident, and it wasn't. So that's the example of some of the horrors of mankind that you can find on the Radio 1 YouTube channel at the moment.
So